Well, good morning. I can see those who are more interested in being in church today. So, but before we jump in, more of a serious note. I woke up yesterday morning, like many of you, and I looked at the news and I saw what was happening in Israel, and instantly my heart was shattered. The images that I was looking at, that many of us have seen, of just senseless death and destruction and turmoil are I can't even find the right word. Just evil. Yesterday morning, as I saw what was happening, I texted my friend Maher, who's the national director of Youth for Christ in Lebanon, because inevitably, as things are progressing, it's very likely, as far as my mind sees, that Lebanon gets drawn into this somehow. And Maher is over Youth for Christ for that whole region. And I texted him, and I said, "My prayers are with you, brother, as your region is in turmoil." And he said, "Thanks so much. Death and destruction from both sides. Prayers needed for de-escalation." It's interesting how awful hate can be. How deep-seated hate and just disdain for another people group causes people to do unthinkable things. And we've seen it, if you've paid attention to what's happening in Israel. We've seen it for a couple years in what's happening with Russia and Ukraine, is senseless destruction is covering Europe and now down into the Near and Middle East. So we're going to spend some time praying. And just as we sang that song, we're going to speak the name of Jesus over what's happening in our world. Because only He can bring the healing and the reconciliation and the hope of a better future that people are looking for. So I'd encourage you this week, we'll pray, I'll pray in a moment, but be praying, not just God be with Israel, but be praying that the Holy Spirit intercedes in that country and brings and helps cooler minds to prevail. That those who are in leadership who are just... I'm stuck because some of the images I saw yesterday, I just can't get out of my head of how ugly it is. But we know we serve a God who can make a difference and bring healing to that region, right? So that's what we're going to pray for. I don't know what else to do. But it's the best thing we can do also. So let's pray for Israel. So Father, we understand that in our world today, evil people are wreaking havoc on others. Lord, and the problem and the issues that we see in Israel just aren't even, they haven't been present even since the 40s, Lord. They've been present since the beginning of your people. So Lord, I pray that you would stop the violence, that through your Holy Spirit's work in that land, that you would stop the violence, you would bring hope, healing, and peace to people who so desperately need it. Father, I pray against senseless violence and the evil thoughts of men who are causing and wreaking such havoc on such a place. God, we ask that you would intervene. We speak the name of Jesus over that part of the world. We speak the name of Jesus over Ukraine and all that's happening in that part of the world. We speak the name of Jesus over the entire globe and every country and every person. And God, I pray that you would reconcile country to country and religious group to religious group, however that works, that there wouldn't be such hatred and pain in our world. But at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. God, I pray that we would see your power at display in the world for all to see as you bring these conflicts under your loving touch. So God, we give you all of these things that are happening, and we ask that we would see and understand how you're moving, and that, Lord, ultimately we would give you the praise and glory for what you have done. We thank you, Father. We pray these things in the only name that matters, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was shocked when I woke up yesterday and saw what was happening. I just couldn't even believe it. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be totally surprised by those events either. That part of the world is just, it's throughout Scripture, there's been conflict, and it continues today. And it's only by Jesus' hand that it'll ever be resolved. So continue to pray for Israel and all that happens in that space. And today, we're into one of my favorite messages of this whole core series, the one on generosity. And you might be sitting there saying, oh, here goes the pastor talking about generosity. I wish I was elsewhere right now. But as we dive into the message today and we actually get to the scripture that Jess read just a few moments ago, we will see and understand how our God was incredibly generous to us. And a result of his abounding and matchless generosity, it is incumbent upon us to be generous to others. Not because I tell you so, not because anybody else says you need to do this or that, but because we see and understand the beauty of who Jesus is, and we're compelled to be generous with our time, treasure, and talents. It's not an option. We just see a need, and this is how I think we're supposed to live. We see a need in the world, and we just meet it. We don't hope that somebody else does. We don't put our trust and hope in government or anything else. As followers of Jesus, we meet needs of people who are hurting and broken. As we become more generous with our time, treasure, and talents, we will truly be the blessing to the world that we're intended to be. So that's my hope this morning, that as we talk about generosity, you get a different idea of what it looks like. If you've been following along in your core journal, today you can take notes on page 57. Many people have been doing that. But on page 55, we define generosity here at Revive. We define generosity as we give our time, talents, and resources to others. But why? Because of God's love for us. That's why. Not because some pastor told you to, not because your spouse told you to, not because you feel it's the right thing to do. We're compelled by God's love for us to give to the needs of the world. We're going to be focusing our time on 1 Chronicles 29, so if you want to turn to 1 Chronicles or in your Bible app or your Bible, or it will be up on the screen, but as you get to that place, we're going to focus on two things in this passage. The first is David's impact of generosity to the whole of the nation. How David was so generous with his resources that it compelled others to do the same. And the second thing we're going to focus on is David's prayer of thanksgiving. Once he had seen how generous the people were, we're going to focus on the prayer that Jess just read and learn from it because it's powerful. But before we get to 1 Chronicles 29, we have to consider 28. Because David was king for a while by this point, and he'd conquered all the people around. Like I said, this part of the world has been in turmoil forever, and David conquered people group after people group. He amassed all kinds of wealth. He and God were very tight. In fact, God referred to David as a man after his own heart. But David had this desire to build a temple for the Lord, a house for the Ark of the Covenant to reside in, a place where people could go and offer their sacrifices of worship and praise to God. And David was so excited about the prospect of this challenge. He just couldn't wait until God one day said, you know what? Slow your roll a minute, David. I appreciate your heart and all that you want to do in building the temple, but God told him, you're not going to do it. But God, I've put all this thought and energy and time into this. And God said, no, it's not yours to do, David. In fact, I'm going to use your son, Solomon. He's going to replace you as king, and he's the one who's going to get to build the house in my name. He's the one who will build the temple of the Lord. It's a beautiful story of redemption if you think about it, because Solomon was the second son that David had with Bathsheba out of wedlock. And David came to the place and God said, this son who was born in really interesting circumstances, he's going to be the one who follows you on the throne and gets to build the temple. Now, in that moment, David could have responded probably a number of ways. He probably could have said, well, I'm going to take my ball and go home, God. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do it anyway. Well, that probably wouldn't have gone well for him. But we see what David did do. And that's what we're going to focus our time on learning from today. You see, at this point in the scripture, David gathered all the leaders of Israel, all the military leaders who had hundreds and tens under their authority. He gathered them together in one place, and this is what he said to them in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Then King David said to the whole assembly, all who were gathered there, my son Solomon, whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. Thanks for the vote of confidence, Dad. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all the resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these, David says, I have given in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasure of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. We can't just gloss over this. God told David, you're not going to build my house. David said, okay. I understand that my son Solomon is the one that God has called to take that responsibility. And David could have just said, forget it, I'm out. But he hands everything over to Solomon. The plans for the temple, the resources, a starting amount of resources to get the construction underway. He gives it all. Can you imagine the honorable task that was of David to understand and to give of his personal resources all to God? 110 tons of gold he gave. The only gold I have is my wedding ring. I can't even picture 110 tons of gold, 260 tons of silver, as well as bronze, iron, wood, stone, marble, and many other precious stones. David said, here's my personal treasure. Build the house of the Lord. In front of this gathering of all these leaders that have assembled together, he gave generously to the work of God, to the building of God's house, to the building of the temple, which would be used for worship. He was incredibly generous. Let me ask you, has anybody ever been incredibly generous to you? They've seen you in a time of need. They've understood what's going on in your life, and they've given freely of their resources to you. There are a few times in our lives where people have done that to us as a family, but one was so special because we didn't even know who these people were. In my first trip to Zambia, I believe it was in 2005, we went and I got home on our wedding anniversary, which is October 16th, which is coming right up. And on that day, we went out to dinner at a restaurant in down in Colden. And we're sitting there eating dinner, and our girls were young at that point, and they were squirrely. One was in the car seat still, the other sitting in the high chair. And it was just this incredible scene of these two young parents. I'm jet lagged, didn't know where I was, out celebrating our anniversary with the two girls just carrying on and doing what kids you'd expect them to do. And the whole time, there was this older couple sitting at the table next to us. And we struck up a conversation with them, and they were asking about our kids and where I just was. And I told them about my trip to Zambia that I'd just gotten home from earlier that day. And we just had this wonderful conversation. And then they got up and left. And then shortly over, our waitress came up to us and said, "That couple that was sitting there, they paid for your meal. Have fun." We were blown away by this. All of a sudden, we thought we were going to have to pay. It was this incredible blessing on our anniversary of this family who was just incredibly generous to us. We didn't know who they were. We couldn't say thank you. We don't have their phone number. As for all we know, who knows where they were or where they went. But it was one of those moments where you said, "Thank you, Jesus." In your core journal this week, on page 55, there's a place for you to record something similar. What is the most generous thing someone has done for you? Just take time this week to reflect on that, whatever it may be, and write your answer right there on page 55. It might open your eyes up to how somebody, through the presence of God in their lives, has been incredibly generous to you that you've never really thought about. Maybe somebody has let you use their vehicle. Maybe someone has given you money when you needed it. Maybe somebody just gave you a hug in the middle of your distress, and they were generous with their time and their affection toward you. But take some time to record what you notice as generosity in your life. One of my favorite things that happens here in Western New York, and usually I hear this happening at local Tim Hortons all over the place, is that people buy the coffee for the person behind them. Now, because generosity, when you're generous, you want to be generous to the person behind you. And it goes on and on and on until the person behind you buys a whole load of stuff. And you're like, "My generosity's run out." But in Western New York, you hear of that regularly. I think we're a very generous people, as we are a generous church. So David, back to our story. David gave of his resources above and beyond. Let's see what happens next. "Now you," David speaking again to the crowd, "now who among you is willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord today?" In other words, he's saying, "Are you willing to be with me and put your financial resources into this project just the way I did? Are you willing to be generous?" And in verse 6 we read, "Then the leaders of families, the officials, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly." They gave willingly to the work in the building of the temple. Verse 7 will tell us that they gave 375 tons of gold, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 33,750 tons of iron. All that to say, they gave a ton, get it? Tons of materials and resources to the building of the temple. They saw that their leader, the king, gave generously, and they were compelled to be generous themselves. Not because their arms were twisted, not because anybody shamed them into it, but because they saw that King David was generous, they just had to be generous also. They were compelled. The scripture goes on. This is just beautiful. It goes on to say in verse 8, "Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord." The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly. This is what I expect today. I can't say that. I will say it. As you leave today, your wedding rings and watches, they end up in the offering boxes. That's essentially what happened. People saw the generosity of David and the officials, and they gave whatever they had to the building of the temple. the generosity of David produced more generosity in the people. Generosity produces more generosity. It just does. It's contagious. When you see somebody be generous, you want to be generous also. My wife and I have received some blessings in our lives at different times other than the meal out, and we have said we want to do the same to others when we have the resources to do so. The way we have been blessed, we want to be a blessing to others. That's sort of how generosity works. Have you ever noticed that? When you see somebody being generous, you want to participate and experience the same. Generosity produces more generosity. At the beginning of our time together, I mentioned our value on generosity, giving our time, talents, and resources to others because we feel like it. Is that what I said? Giving our time, talent, and resources to others because somebody told me to. Is that what it was? Anybody? Giving our time, talent, and resources to others because of God's love for us. Why are we generous people? Because God, our God, is generous. Why should we be the most generous people in the world as followers of Jesus? Because our God has been generous to us, and he's given us more than we could ever hope or imagine. And we see how this plays out. A verse you all know in John 3:16, "For so God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life." God saw, knew, and understand our separation from him. He knew that we were destined to spend eternity without him, and he couldn't have it that way because he loves you that much and me. That Jesus, who was with him in heaven, he said, "You know what? This is the time. I'm tapping you on the shoulder. Get in the game, kid." He sent Jesus down to the earth, leaving all the heavenly realms and everything that he would have in heaven, sending him down to earth with nothing as a baby who would grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and favor with others. That you see in Luke 2:52, he sent him out into the world to be a blessing to many, to live a sinless life. But Jesus was born ultimately for the sole purpose of dying, of giving his life for you and me. The greatest, most generous act the world has ever seen. God incarnate, living among us, laying his life down so that we may have life. You see, when Jesus died, he didn't stay in the tomb. You know the story. He rose after 3 days. He hung out with his disciples and others for roughly 40 days. And then he ascended back into the glories of heaven. Our God is generous. Our God is generous. He gave us his Son. The scripture even said he gave his one and only Son. I'm never sacrificing my kids for any of you. Ever. Sorry. But God did exactly that. He was so generous. We are generous in response to God's generosity toward us. We should be, as followers of Jesus, the most generous people in all of history, in all of the world, because we understand how God was so generous with you and me, giving his Son, Jesus. Back to King David. After everybody had given their gold and their supplies for the temple, their gold, their silver, their iron, their bronze, their whatever they had available to them, David praises the Lord, and this is what he said. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, everybody who was gathered. And I imagine as he was praising God and in the presence of everybody, he just wasn't sitting there and, "God, we give you praise for what you have." I don't think it sounded like that. I imagine he had tears streaming down his face because he understood the gravity of what just happened. I imagine his voice was quivering with emotion because he saw how generous the people were to the building of God's temple. This was a big deal. So as I read these words, try to hear David's emotion coming out of them. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, possibly face down on the ground, praising God, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, the God of Israel who always was and will be. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours." It's all yours. "Yours, Lord, is the kingdom you exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. What a moment. The people had given all of these resources, and David acknowledges it's all God's. David's response to the people's generosity was thanksgiving and prayer. David knew that wealth and honor is for God alone, not for David, not for another king, but he praises God for what he had done. He continues in verse 14, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give generously as this?" Don't miss this line. "Everything comes from you, and we have given only what has come from your hand. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." Everything belongs to God. Why should we be generous with our time, talent, and resources? It's all His anyway. It's all His. We get to use it for a while. We have some in the bank, or maybe you don't have any in the bank. We get to use these resources while we are alive and breathing, but ultimately, they are all His. With the things God has given us, we could take a couple of different postures, and maybe there's many, but I'm going to highlight two of them. We can take our time, talent, and resources and hold them like this with open hands. "God, use my stuff however you choose. Use my time, my talent, my resources for your glory, for your kingdom, because ultimately they're all yours anyway." Or we can do this and we can hold on for all we're worth. It's like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. We just say that awful word, "my precious." And we keep it all to ourselves. Let me ask you, what's a better way to live? To say, "God, you have given me everything I have. Use it for your kingdom." Or to say, no, it's mine. I'm going to use it as I see fit. I want to live like this. I want to acknowledge God and say, "God, it is all yours. Use it for the glory of your kingdom, whatever you ask. I'll invest my time into the lives of other people. I'll invest my talents into helping people in ways that I'm specifically gifted. And Lord, my bank account, my financial resources, they're yours. You can't bring it with you anyway. It's incredible. David says, everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. What does it look like for you to be a person of generosity? What does it look like? You know, you only have so much time. Time's the one resource you can never get back. When you invest your time in somebody else, it matters because that time is gone. You can't earn more time, and your time may be shorter than you think, actually. So when you sit with somebody for an hour and invest your life in the life of another, that's a huge investment. Because when you say yes to something, you always say no to something else. It's just the way it works. So do you hold your time like this and say, God, my time is yours? Or your talents. Maybe you're gifted at whatever you're gifted at. And maybe you use them for God's glory. But do you take your talents and you say, no, I love my hobbies. Nope, I'm not helping anybody. Or do people know you're somebody they can call on? That if something goes wrong and you have the talent to step into that place to help, you're open with your talents and you say, I'm here. Or your financial resources. This one's so hard because we work so hard to get them, right? But do you give freely of what the Lord's given to you, to his work in the world, whether it be here to church, or do you give freely and say, Lord, I desire to see your kingdom move forward in this world. Every time we have baptisms, they're coming up right before Thanksgiving, and we have the baptismal set up right there. Every time you give to the life of this church, when you see a baptism, you're like, yep, I was a part of that. And you're investing your resources in the changed lives of other people. When our student ministry gets back from fall retreat and Cable shares all these kids who accepted the Lord and all these students who want to be baptized, if you're engaged financially, you can say, I was a part of that. Every time we sing a worship song and somebody's heart is moved closer to Jesus, and you're invested here financially, what joy should fill your heart because you are a part of that. As we hold our time, treasure, and talents with open hands, we can be a blessing to many. Coming up in just a couple of weeks, we're having something called Fall Fest. We've never done this before at this campus, but we're going over, yep, it's right there, to Glen Meadow Park over in the village of Hamburg. Many of you know where it is. And we're hosting a Fall Fest in this village park over at Glen Meadow. We're going to have trunk or treat. We're going to have hay rides. We're going to love on the community. As we've put it out on Facebook, we've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of likes. I don't know what that means. But people like it. The potential is that we just have hundreds of people show up from the community to participate in our Fall Fest. Here's a time for you to invest your time, treasure, and talent to make this a reality. It's a very tangible and practical example. You can fill your trunk for a trunk or treat. You can volunteer in many other ways. You can go on our website. I believe there's all kinds of ways to volunteer and to engage with that. If you check it out on our website, you'll be able to find it if you go there. But that's a very tangible way to be generous, to use your time, talent, and treasure to be a blessing to others. But why? Because God is so generous. And he gave to us this life of his son. I want to end by reading this scripture over us from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's speaking to the Corinthians, or writing to the Corinthians, and he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Just like it did in Chronicles. Our generosity results in thanksgiving to God. Don't miss this. We included generosity as one of our values because we believe as a staff, as a church, as I believe in all of my heart, the more generous we are, the more we get to see God work in our world. He uses us in ways you've never dreamt possible. So don't hold on and keep things close. Live with open hands, saying, God, it's all yours anyway. Now use it for your glory. God, we thank you for this morning, this chance to be together as a family in your presence, learning about something that impacts our hearts so deeply. Father, I pray that as you have been generous to us and you have sent your Son into this world, we would be that generous. I don't know that we can be that generous, but we would try to be as generous as possible with our time, our talents, and our treasure. Lord, that we would follow the example we see in Chronicles of David and the nation of Israel, that as they gave freely, we too would give freely to your work in the world. That we wouldn't hold back. That we wouldn't have clenched fists, but we'd have open hands, saying, it's all yours, God. Use it for your glory. Lord, don't have none of us give because we feel we have to. Help us to give because we get to. We get to be a part of what you're doing in the world. It's an honor and a privilege. Help that to be our mindsets. We get to experience you in this way, and we thank you. You are a good God. You have given us everything we have. Use it for your glory. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.